opportunity to be here and to be given God's word that he has laid on my heart this week. And it's been an up and down week for me. Anybody else had an up and down week? It just seems like it's God gives us a blessing. Satan tries to find a way to discourage us or take us away from what it is that God has given to us. And so the message that I have for us today is about contending for the faith and understanding the fact that we have a hope that can't be taken away. No matter what it is that happens, no matter what the circumstance, there is a hope that comes as a part of our faith that is just absolutely indestructible. You know, there's a couple of certain things in life. One of those is taxes. I had to deal with that this week. The farm property in Ohio, the taxes came due, and so I had to make those payments. But there's another certainty about life, and that is death. Death is probably more certain than taxes, because you can actually go through life and not have to own any property or maybe owe any taxes, I guess. There's a way you can probably do that. But death is something that all of us are going to have to face at some time or another. And I think about death. It's not something that is a sad thing in all times, but it's certainly something that I think about. And as a result of my conversion to Christ, when I was 9 years old, I also had a deeper understanding, a greater awareness of death. Those that I love have passed away over the last 15 years. But death is, of course, a big philosophical theme. People think about how death influences how they live their life today. You know, a lot of folks live life for the moment. They live it for today. They aren't even worried about tomorrow because they've been convinced that death could occur at any time. And, of course, many people, the philosophers that I've studied in school teach us that life is best lived in light of one's death, thinking about the fact that we are going to pass away. You need to live a good life, and you need to understand that that there is a good death. I've done many funerals. I did the funerals of my grandparents, several friends, and loved ones, people that I've cared for a lot about. I've done funerals during this season of COVID. And so when you're at a minister, and when you're at a funeral as a minister, you deal with death. And you meet with people whose loved ones are gone. I've cried at the death of loved ones. I've cried when we put my little dog Megan to sleep. She was sick and I had to put her down. And that was probably one of the hardest things that I've ever done in my life, to be quite honest with you, was having to put her down. You know, when I loved her so much, and as I drove to the vet, and she was laying there the whole time just looking at me. And then when you go into the vet's office, and she wanted to know that she was being cared for, and as she was dying, it was ridiculously painful for me, because she trusted me. She trusted in me, but she couldn't communicate that other than just through her eyes, just through who she was, and it made the situation harder. It made me angry, actually. It made me very angry at death and at the fact of death. I tried a stint, actually, when I was in seminary as a chaplain at the hospital, and did palliative care at a small rural hospital in West Virginia. I couldn't do it. It was too painful. You know, there's only so much that you can only give what you have in you, right? So when that joy that you guys see in my face, when it's gone, there it has to come back from someplace, right? And I get that back from my hope and my love in God. But you just have to. It's just hard. It's hard to realize. And so I won't ever forget these things that I've learned about death. I won't ever forget the Sunday school lesson that I had up there today for the kids about the Valley of Dry Bones and the fact that God can take and overcome death. death and make life out of it. I don't want to forget them, and I can't and should not forget that death is still with us. It's something we have to deal with. But when walking through the valley of the shadow of death, some people think and reflect, not all but some. You know, I did a funeral once where the friends of the overdose drug deceased were having a tailgate party in the funeral home parking lot. Alcohol was their drug of choice for dealing with grief, and they staggered into the funeral service, having failed to drown their sorrows. But I also look at every death as a God opportunity. World pews kick in at funerals, unfortunately, even for the toughest of all of us, including those motorcycle guys. They want to hear about, they weigh things, they try to decide and evaluate whether incomplete things in their mind, whether unsaid things that they should have been said, the experimental finality of death, their own mortality. And all these themes are in the gospel of Jesus. He talked about it the entire time, and we'll go through those over the next several years as I continue to minister here. And we've already been through some of them. But at a funeral, I always share about the forgiveness of Jesus Christ, and that forgiveness is possible in Jesus, and how in His resurrection we have hope beyond the grave. And as I speak, I see people who are listening. And every service, I have at least one person come up to me afterwards, because God knows that I need reaffirmation. So He makes sure that I understand that that message was heard. I see people who are listening who are hoping. And some who live in denial come out of that dark closet, and they stand for a while in the light. And in that moment, they're looking for hope, as before them stands the hope of the world. Christ has been raised, and that message is something that all of us should be telling to the world. You know, you've been exposed to so many sermons. We've had Bible studies about the end times. We've talked about all that, how awful the world is. And there's so many sermons that my girls have been exposed to, and as they grew up, you know, and you have been as well. Movies, you know, we had the Left Behind series that I'm sure that we watched here at Liberty. That was before my time, but I'm sure they were popular. There have been conversations, I'm sure, as we go through this period of pandemic about the mark of the beast and all those things, the great tribulation, the rise of the Antichrist. And people have panic disorders because they worry about the end times. Some of my friends, not very many of us that were in Bible study, youth group, are still active in the church, unfortunately. But I remember Erica, she had a legit panic disorder about the Antichrist and about the end of the world. She was just afraid. You know, she came home and she couldn't find her mother, and she was afraid that she'd been left behind. That's the impact that these movies and these things have. As you get older, thanks to mentors and logical inquiry, and just as we get more intelligent, we understand that this, you know, left behind narrative, that we understand more of the Bible as we read more of the Scripture, and we see through the Spirit's eyes the meaning of Revelation and the meaning of all these symbols and the things that we find in the book of Revelation. You can ask the fears that you have, and when I talk with people about the end times, I talk about their belief and where they are with these circumstances. And I ask them, I said, who benefits from your belief? Who benefits from where you're at on your concern about the mark of the beast, or about the Antichrist, or about whatever it is, the fear that you have? And the one question that I've asked about nearly everything in the Bible, you shall know it by its fruit. So in other words, we're going to know the good of God, right, Jesus Christ, by its fruit. And so what is needed is sharpened discernment as we look at the end times. And so who benefits? Who benefits when believers are looking for the rise of the Antichrist instead of the return of the King. Who benefits? Who benefits? We're contending for the faith, and we're trying to give off an air of hope, and instead of looking for the return of Jesus Christ, we're worried about the rise of the Antichrist. Who benefits when we're obsessed with the mark of the beast instead of being marked by Christ's love and presence? They will know us by our love, not by our hate or by our loud voices as we look for the Antichrist or the mark of the beast. Why are we so focused? What happens when Christians are so focused on escaping the earth instead of redeeming it? People need to hear about the Word of God. They need to see the love of Christ. And the biggest thing is I fall into this myself. I'm not saying that I'm any better than anyone when it comes to this, but when you get afraid of things, when you are immersed in fear, who benefits when believers are immersed in fear rather than hope? And the answer is darkness. Yes, there is darkness, and it does seem to be increasing everywhere we go. Everywhere we go. The presence, really, of darkness is not actually increasing, though. Only our exposure to it. You see, there's only so much darkness in the world that Jesus didn't create darkness, right? Satan created darkness. And he's not in a fight. He can't ever overtake the light. The darkness can never overtake the light. There's only so much darkness, but you know what? Our exposure to the darkness is increasing. We get to see it in our newspapers. We get to see it in our television stations. We get to see it in our own families. We get to see it as sickness continues to invade our communities. The prophetic scripture, Ezekiel, all of the Old Testament, said what? When darkness is at its thickest, that's when the glory of the Lord rises upon us. When darkness is at its thickest, that's when the glory of the Lord rises upon us. Which side of the same coin do you want to focus on? The good or the bad? We get to choose, right? You guys have heard these stories in school. Optimists, right? The glass is either half full or what? Half empty. I'm an optimist. I try to be an optimist. But that's Jesus' story. The end is indeed near, and to me, I'm thankful the end is near, because that means it's the end of the reign of terror that I get to watch tear through my friends and family. My high school class, had a reunion yesterday at a park in our community back in Clarksburg. And, you know, we've lost several of our members. We're not old, but we're not young. But the biggest sadness really is what drugs has done to some of our friends and the people that we cared a lot about and that we piled around with and that we made it through and we developed who we are as human beings. The end is not here yet. It's near, but the end of the reign of terror that has kept God's children enslaved to a matrix of lies and hopelessness is about to end. And that is this contention for the faith. You know, and we should be happy. As I was thinking this week, I thought, you know what? We should be happy. Because those of us who are alive during these times, we're getting the incredible privilege of seeing all of the prophecies of the Bible. What only the prophets could dream about, we're getting to see God's power rise, right? We are seeing God's power rise. Because even as darkness has continued to be more and more exposed to us, we do need to do what we talked about in Hebrews, which is to fix our eyes on the rising glory of the Son of Righteousness instead of the momentary darkness. And it's only for a moment. That quakes and trembles at the mention of his name because Satan is afraid of the name of Jesus Christ. He is destroyed when we Bible and quote it back to him. He cannot exist in the same place that God is at the same time. So if your mind is full of God, it cannot be full of Satan. The number one thing that I tell people to do when they say, you know what, I'm just so, read your Bible. It doesn't matter which chapter. Which chapter should I read? Is there a special chapter on this or that? No, just open the Bible and read it. If his word is in your mind, Satan cannot enter. If his word is in your heart, Satan cannot enter. And so, I think we need to find out where our position is. We need to find out which corner we're in this ring of the fight that we're having. Because if you're alive, you have a part to play. You and I have a part to play in this battle. And so we need to declare the solution. We need to let people know more and yell louder about the fact that Jesus wins this battle, that Jesus is coming back, the king is returning, instead of the fact that the Antichrist is coming. And we need to be louder about the fact that we have love, that we have presence, we will be there, we are God's people, his hands and feet here on earth, instead of being worried about the mark of the beast. We need to be focused on redeeming the earth instead of condemning it and letting them know they're going to hell. Let them see the love and let them be immersed in hope and not in fear. That's the faith that Christ talks about. That's the faith that we're talking about here in this section of 1 John. As we look at the scripture that we picked for today, 1 John chapter 5, I think, is the one I picked. Maybe I picked chapter 4, I can't remember. 1 John chapter 5, verses 4 and 5. For everyone born of God overcomes the world. This is the victory that has overcome the world. Even our faith. Who is it that overcomes the world? Only the one who believes that Jesus is the Son of God. This is one of those circumstances where you just keep repeating the same thing until hopefully it gets through your thick head, right? That's what John does. Because John was sort of the slow one of the bunch. So when he wrote things down, it's sort of like, did you have to write down, I will not talk in class, I will not talk in class, I will not. That's what John had to do right here. For everyone born of God overcomes the world. This is the victory that has overcome the world. Even our faith. Who is it that overcomes the world? Only the Son, only the one who believes that Jesus is the Son of God. So, finally, hopefully you got it, right? Although I had to write, I will not talk in class many times. And other things. Thank you, dear. Glad to know you're still sitting here on the front row, ready to chime in at any moment. Oh. We have opportunities to encourage. We have opportunities to proclaim. And we need to look at the reality. The reality is what the Word says. This is the truth, okay? There's nothing in this book that is false, that is misleading, and that serves any other purpose other than to glorify God. Nothing in this book. What we read in the newspaper, what we see on the television, what happens in our communities with our neighbors, how we interact with our family members, drugs, all that darkness that's out there that we get exposed to all the time, it's all lies. You cannot rely, I love my wife, but I don't rely upon her for my sanctification. My sanctification, my Savior is Jesus Christ. Everyone born of God, everyone, okay? Anybody who's been baptized, anybody who has accepted Christ as their Lord and Savior, is going to overcome the world. So what does that mean in practical terms? Well, what that means is that cancer, that heart disease, kidney disease, all of these things, they're going to be painful to deal with. They're not something that you want to have to fool with. But the reality is we've already won. And when Jesus comes back, we're going to be perfect. just like He is. So this heart that won't come back into rhythm for me, seems like, the cancer that others have had to fight with, the kidney disease that constantly is being reminded that, you know what, there's suffering and strife. It is all just a distraction from the real joy that we have as Christians, and that is that we get to go to heaven. And we are going to be encouraged by the Holy Spirit, by the Word of God, and we have a job to do. Even in that, we need to let people see how God has worked through our lives. Jesus is the authoritative Lord of our life, and we have to reject the influence of the darkness. We cannot be running around in fear. We can't make decisions based on fear. We need to remember that Jesus is coming back, that we have a job to do, and that is to preach the love and the kindness of God. And so we need to show our faith with our love in relationship with each other, with God, all of these things. Only the one who believes that Jesus is the Son of God will overcome the world. What does it mean to overcome the world? Well, so we get to obey God and we get to be with Him when He comes back and take us to heaven. Let's pray together, and then I think we have an invitation hymn. If you don't know Jesus, please don't leave this place today without knowing Him. If you're online and you need to know Him, please message us so that we can pray with you. The only way that you're going to be able to see darkness, to be able to quit being distracted, to not get that sucker punch in this boxing ring of life, is to have Jesus Christ in your heart. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You for Your love that is expressed in the sending of Your Son to die for the sins of the world. Empower us to overcome the world and model Your love to others. And as we do, may we look forever forward to the day of Your Son's return, when we will share in His glory. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. The only way to overcome the world is through faith in Jesus. I'm not sure what the invitation hymn is. Let's stand and sing. If you'd like to come forward and pray, pray.
To Jesus I surrender.